I'd like to begin a series tonight on finding God's will for your life. We often talk about this. It is often something people say, I'd like to find God's will for my life. I was reading this, I thought he had it well organized and thought through. Guidance and Wisdom by J.I. Packer. As I understand it, Packer did not end well. He wrote, Science and...
Knowing God.
Yes, Knowing God, right. And something about science and knowing God. Yeah, okay, that's it. And he also wrote one about the sovereignty of God, and something like this, and being fully into the Reformed side of things. He said, it's one of those things we can never understand, how that God can choose everything and yet man's responsible. So he says, we know it's true, we just don't know why. And that's because they make God making the choice, that God makes the choice. And therefore, if that were true, then God would be responsible for every unsaved person just because he didn't choose them. But anyway, I heard he didn't go end well. So I hesitate to say, but I'll recommend this book, Guidance and Wisdom, and will be my adaptation of it. So the first main point that we'll be looking at for a while is God is our guide. Let's be clear on this. Finding the will of God, he'll be your guide. When a person becomes a Christian, he begins to desire to know God's will for his life, and he does not doubt that God has a will for his life. What he doubts is whether or not he will be able to discover that will. Bible-believing churches teach people to seek God's will for their lives. Great song, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand," like a little child being led by daddy. Hold me with your powerful hand. "Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore." So we ask God to guide us. We are assuming that he is willing to do that and capable. Now, liberal churches have created doubt about such things, but this study will seek to guide us in finding God's will. One of the things we have to watch on this is that the charismatic movement has been very powerfully present in TV and radio and all these things, and has given out this idea that it's something other than it is. So let's say, first of all, God can and does guide. We're on solid ground here. Number one, God has a plan for individuals. His plan involves the whole creation. This is not just a will for you, is different from his will for me. God has the whole concept worked out according to his plan. Listen to Ephesians 1, 10 and 11. That in the dispensation, the economy, the way God works it out, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. This is his ongoing plan, gathered all together, both which are in heaven, or the heavens, and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, I remind you every time we talk about this that predestination speaks about God's plan that was made beforehand. The beforehand plan was the plan of salvation that he called to the Israel, the new covenant. This was established in Ephesians 1. That was established before the creation of man. So God, knowing that man would sin, had already set up this plan, or else I think he wouldn't even have created man if he would create him only to send him to hell. But this is the idea to work all things according to the counsel of his own will, his own desire. in chapter 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is the gospel promise, the gospel work, and that was the eternal purpose that he had before time began to create beings that he could welcome into his family. And he, to accomplish this after sin, he purposed it in our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is, however, not only the whole creation. It is not just some general basic concept of the will. His plan includes the individual, like Paul, Acts 21:14, and when he would not be persuaded, this is when they're saying to Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Everywhere we go, the prophets that are getting their information from the Holy Spirit say, you're going to be bound, you're going to be taken captive, and in fact, he was. But he said, what are you trying to do, break my heart? He says, I'm ready to be bound, I'm ready to die for the Lord's sake. So I'm going on. So he says, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased trying to persuade him, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now here's an idea that God, they recognized God had his plan for Paul. And if he's not going to be careful to avoid being taken, well then we'll just let God work it out, see. But they were confident that the Lord's will would be done. Acts 22:14, he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will. He's talking to the Jews here. Chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. That you have lived in a time when the Christ was born and ministered and died. And this was God chose to show them his will. In Acts 26:16-19, Christ is talking to Paul at the his conversion experience on the road to Damascus, and he says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here's the purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, this vision, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Here is a signal that Christ planned to meet with Paul fairly often to explain things in a way that he wasn't explaining to anybody else, because he was going to send him on a special job. And he says, delivering thee from the people, that's the Jews, that's Israel, and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So right from the beginning, he was sent to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. But this was God showing him his will. He goes on in verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Christ says, once they have faith in me, they become part of our family, they get the inheritance, they become sons of God, and sons inherit the wealth of God. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He's explaining, giving this testimony. And the idea is that the vision revealed the will of God for him, and I was not disobedient to Christ declaring his will. In 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them. This is, to me, an interesting revelation in the sense that sometimes it's the pattern of people's lives. What the Old Testament talks about, the stories of the patriarchs, or the testimonies, you see. And by the testimonies, you gain an understanding of the will of God. So he says, as a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And then simply by the will of God is found in 1 Corinthians 1:1, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:1, and 2 Timothy 1:1. He begins with this, saying, I'm an apostle, I'm a minister by the will of God. So God can and does work things according to his will. He has a plan for the entire universe, for the entire planet, and for individual men. We see, secondly, that God can communicate his plan to us. This is not just a secret will, and it's going to happen to you, but you don't know it. But he can communicate it. We just want to look at the examples in the book of Acts that show us enough, I think. Acts 8, 26-29, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. God had set up the meeting with the Ethiopian eunuch that would bring the gospel to Ethiopia early on, here at the beginning of things. And we find that God was communicating in this case through an angel. And an angel visits. The word angel means messenger. So a messenger is not one who invents a message, but one who carries a message. Acts 10, 19 and 20. While Peter thought on the vision about the sheet coming down and all the food in there, or the animals, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Here is God very specifically talking to Peter about his will for his life at this time, at this moment. Acts 13, 2, As they ministered to the Lord there in the city of Antioch and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Here is God making his will known that these men should be missionaries, the basically first missionaries sent out by a church to go traveling around. In Acts 16, 6 and 7, Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, it doesn't say that they couldn't go there. It says if they got there, they couldn't preach the word. This forbidden by the Holy Spirit indicates to me not that the Holy Spirit said you can't go there, but something they found out, that there was some prohibition, there was some problem there, that they couldn't preach the word. And they said, well, that's the will of God. Then second thing, after they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In this case, they couldn't even get there. Now, I think it could be like the bridge was washed out or something like this, but they recognized that God could have opened this up for them, but they weren't supposed to go there. They couldn't minister in the one place. They couldn't even go to the other, and so they came up against the ocean where God gave Paul the vision of the Macedonian man saying, come over and help us. So they were directed by the Holy Ghost, probably through secondary means. And then Acts 18, 9 and 10, Then spake the Lord to Paul in a night by a vision. He's at Corinth, and things are looking tough, and there's some bad people that are wanting to get him killed. Spake the Lord to Paul in a night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. I have people that are looking up to me. They might be saved or not. We hear of Cornelius being devout. This idea that I was talking about earlier about the term godly or devout is eusebia. It's a term meaning that they worship well, but the idea is that they have a regard to God. They're looking to God for direction. And so Cornelius wasn't even saved yet, but he was looking to God. And then when the angel told him to go find Peter, he gathers a group together. One of them was a devout soldier. And again, Eusebia, the one who is looking up to God. So perhaps in this city there were people already looking to God for some solution to their life problems. And God says, I want you here. These people are going to be saved, or perhaps already have been saved. So let me close then with this, that as we explore this, we're going to see how not to think about finding God's will and how to find it. But let's be clear that there are promises of guidance, and this throughout the Bible, that God is offering, God is suggesting that we seek him to find his will. Psalm 25, 8 to 12. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So if we look to God, if we look to his word, we find the path that God wants us to take. Psalm 32, 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Hebrew could say, I will counsel thee, mine eye shall be upon thee. I've been impressed from time to time to see somebody who was running things, who didn't have to yell and scream and blow a whistle. There was somebody over on the side waiting, and he would look to him, and he would come over and see what needed to be done. This is guiding with his eye, just a look. And that means you have to be watching, you have to be sensitive, you have to be looking unto Jesus. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what we're looking for, the direction from God. Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, literally droughts, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like the watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. This is the artesian water. And he says, the Lord has made the effort to give you the direction continually. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is our mind to be renewed about? He says, that you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we can find the will of God, we can try the will of God, and we put it to the test and find this really works. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. This isn't just to know it, to say, I don't know if I want to follow that or not. This is to be filled with the knowledge of his will. This is to be thrilled with the idea that he would give us his direction, you see. And this in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then again in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently, or striving for you in prayers. He was speaking to God, and here's his prayer request, that you may stand perfect and complete, or filled, in all the will of God. That you will stand perfect and complete in what God wants you to do. And so, no question here, but God gives us promises of guidance, and with that, we should be thrilled.